My name is Athol Darter. I was born at Wynyard in 1915, 10 miles west of Burnie. It's built on the bank of the English River, a lovely little town with a big river going into the sea there, and it used to be a port for the little trading boats in the early days. When I was 3, my mother died and my brother was 1, and my aunt at East Wynyard brought us up. We went to school at Wynyard. We had a very stern headmaster. If we misbehaved, we got the bloody cane. We were the best behaved kids in Tasmania, because we knew we just had to behave. Looking back, he was a very fine person. He said the laws were made for the benefit of society. He said if everyone did the right thing, we wouldn't need policemen. Now, isn't that true? The most heinous crime ever any of us committed was riding the push bike on the footpath. It was against the law in those days. We were drummed to do the right thing and behave. Now, kids are educated to buck the system. There's no discipline. My father had a dairy farm at Tacone, 12 miles inland, on basalt country, a good country, 40-inch rainfall, and originally timbered with a dense myrtle forest, 150, 180 feet high, and the trees were 4 and 5 feet thick, and they cut them down, cut them into lengths with a cross-cut saw, rolled them into heaps with bullocks, and burnt them. Today, that's one of our finest furniture timbers, and they burnt millions of tons of it. Criminal, you know. And now the little farms are no longer viable. Instead of reforesting with myrtle, they're reforesting it with radiata, the world's worst timber. But that's bureaucrats, of course. My father had a dairy farm. He used to milk about 45 cows. Beautiful country, the rye grass up to your waist, clover up to your knees, virgin country it was. And this particular summer, they had an early summer, and a grass fire went through and burnt everything. He and the neighbours had to dry their cows off. They drove them down to Murrawar on the sand hills of the west coast to winter. It was a case of survival. The next year, he had another disaster. He bought a bull with contagious abortion. Instead of 45 cows coming in, only 7. Prior to this, he had 200 acres, and he borrowed £1,200 from the bank to buy 100 acres next door, made it L-shaped, good country, and he'd paid off £200. And because of these two disasters, he was 1 year's payment behind, £100, and £60 interest. The bank said, "The farm's ours. The bastards are still the same, aren't they?" Anyway, salvaged what he could. He had land on Flinders Island and 29 young cows. He got a little trading boat that used to trade from Flinders to Launceston called the Lady Jean. Took the cows down to Wynyard. We walked them across to Burnie. He said, "Right over until Captain Nichols, the cows will be there at 1 o'clock. I rode the bike over, and there was an old fellow down below. He had his felt hat on, standing on the deck, an old shawl around, a scarf around his neck. And I said, "Is Captain Nichols there?" I was a very shy sort of boy. And he said, "What do you bloody well want?" Oh, I said, "My father said to ride over until Captain Nichols, the cattle will be there at 1 o'clock. He put his head down and he said, "Bill, there's a bloody kid here says the cattle will be at 1 o'clock. He turned around to me and he said, "Well, see they bloody well are." He frightened hell out of me. Anyway, we loaded the cattle. He had to sling them aboard in those days. He couldn't walk them. And we left and started to blow a half a gale from the southwest, which was a good wind for us. And I was as sick as a dog, leaning over the rail, vomiting my heart out. And this rough old bloke going up the forecastle hit me on the shoulder and said, "Get over the lee rail, cocky. You haven't got so far to throw it." He frightened hell out of me. I got to know him afterwards, and I found he's one of the nicest and kindest fellas I've ever met in my life. He's an old square rigger bloke. Yeah. Anyway, I'll come get back to him later on. We landed on Flinders Island. We had a hut on the farm, that's all. Then we got the timber over. We got a bloke to build a very small cottage, 2 rooms with a skinlin on one end where the kitchen and the bedroom for us 2 boys were. We milked in the open. We never had enough money to build a cow shed. We separated the milk, sent the cream to the butter factory, and it was 1932. The price of butter fat dropped from 2 and 6 a pound to 6 pence. Our total year's income was £50. No bakers in those days. You had to bake your own bread. We used that to buy flour, tea, sugar and so forth. And we lived on wallabies, spuds and salt mutton birds. We lived very close to the wind, I can tell you. And then a year or so later, my brother and I got a job working for a hungry old bachelor, old Ad Hurst. He had two huts close together. He used to sleep at one, keep his papers there. No one went and do all that. And the other one, he had a wood stove where he used to cook our tucker and a stretcher where my brother slept. And I slept over the road in a little shack over there. He used to hunt us out of bed at 6 o'clock to get the cows. The milking shed was half a mile down the road, about 100 yards in from the road, on a bit of a knoll. And we would go down and get the cows in. He'd watch us. When he saw the cows going in, he'd get on his old horse and come down to help us milk. And he had a separator on a block in a little shelter. And he used to hang the cream from the rafters on the little shelter in a bucket. And when he finished, he'd wash the separator. We'd feed the calves. He'd go back and cook breakfast. And he always used to feed us oatmeal porridge. He used to take the top off the stove, and one of those old iron saucepans with a wire handle, you've probably seen them, cast iron handle, and put them down among the flames. And, of course, they used to burn about half an inch or three-quarters of an inch all round the outside. And we thought he did it so we wouldn't eat so much. He was that mean, you know. And anyway, when we'd dig the middle out, he used to prefix everything, "By gad, boy. By gad, boy, I'll soak it. Makes it easy to clean." That's true. He used to fill it up with water and put it on the tank stand. And he only had one chook, a big Plymouth speckled rooster. Giant. I've never seen one as big. He used to call feathers. And that was all right. We were there for a few months. My brother got the flu and he couldn't get out of bed, so we had to milk his cows. And afterwards, he said, "Do you know how that rotten, stinking old so-and-so cleans that porridge put out?" I never thought about it. He said he went over the tank stand, threw the water out, and put it on the ground and said, "Come on, Feathers, come and get your breakfast." And the whole Feathers used to pick it as clean as a whistle. He'd pick it clean and all the rest he'd clean it himself, see? That's how he used to clean it out.